Welcome to the Maria Heller Show. On the net since 2000 and still going strong. If you feel like you're not getting the real news, if you feel like you're not connected spiritually, you have found your home. Maria covers a wide range of topics as only a snarky New Yorker can. Straight up, no chaser. No censorship, no corporate sponsors, thus true freedom of speech. Your subscription gives you unlimited access as a member of the smartest audience on earth. Relax and enjoy the education. Now here's Maria.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to the show. Today we have a special show, Blood and Guts, with myself and Jack Blood, the one and only Jack Blood. So I'm really happy to have Jack back with me. He's the guy that I could blame for still being on the air. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning, and welcome from lockdown Seattle. We are still alive and kicking over here, believe it or not.
Well, I guess Seattle's in a better way this morning than Michigan. I was reading in the papers this morning that Michigan's got three dams that broke, and they're expecting some certain parts of Michigan to be 9 feet underwater. And Trump's response was, because they sent out mail-in ballots, that he's not going to help them because of that.
I saw that. That doesn't make any sense, seeing that he kind of needs to win Michigan. You would think he would be a little nicer about it. And I think they have, if you listen to Greg Palast, I think they have pretty good control over those paper ballots, unless there is, as they have here in Washington, some form of tracking system. You can actually track your mail vote here. That is, if you're so inclined to do so. Most people would be too lazy to do that, but it is possible. Right. And that's exactly what we're going to be up against here in this alleged election, or selection, as I call them, in November. There's just no way we're all going out to vote. So something better be figured out, and figured out now. So it seems counterproductive to what he would be wanting to accomplish, that is, if there's going to be an election.
If is a big word, but you know, Trump and his entire family vote by mail. So, but he did say
they don't even vote, do they? I don't think they voted in the last election, the kids that now have the cushy jobs at the White House.
I don't even know, but supposedly that's how they vote. And he also switched out the Postmaster General, so I guess he can control the vote if it happens that way.
Yeah, I saw that little blurb that he hammered out from his toilet throne, his golden throne at the White House, about this voting. And yeah, again, it's very counterproductive, but I don't like the term voter fraud. I'll tell you that right now. It's election fraud. It's voter suppression. And one of the problems that Democrats have, from my analysis, and you know, I'm not a Demopublican or a Republican, but one of the problems they have is the precedents they set in their election so far, in their primary election, is election fraud and voter suppression versus Bernie Sanders to get Joe Biden the nomination. They used every trick in the book on him, and Trump is well aware of that and is ready to use that against the presumptive nominee of creepy Joe Biden. And they've also suspended their primary for the most part. They flat out ended it in New York, where I know you are from. And I know only Andrew Yang protested it, so it's hanging in the courts right now. But if Trump were to use voter suppression, the Democrats really couldn't say very much about it. It's the same trick they used against Bernie, and this is, again, a kind of a replay of election 2016. And if he suspends the election for health reasons, he can just point to the Democrats and say, well, they just did the same thing. So they're setting really bad precedents for themselves.
I agree, but I'm pretty sure I read this morning that New York is going to allow the primary to go through.
Well, and thanks to Yang, who was the only one who stood up. And Bernie Yang 2020, Maria, let's go.
Hey, you know I'm a Bernie fan from way back. But I've been putting Biden in. Honestly, Jack, what chance do you think Biden has?
The corona thing could help him, but I just never thought he had any chance. And I can't imagine him being able, no matter how many drugs they pump him up with, I just don't see how he's going to go toe-to-toe. So one of the good things maybe about the lockdown is that he won't have to debate Trump, because that would be a disaster for him. I mean, give Trump his due. He's He knows how to debate people. He knows how to ruin people, humiliate them, and he certainly knows how to speak to his base, which hasn't really gone anywhere. There's been some bleeding because of the measures taken, and I hope we get a chance to talk a little bit about that today. Mm-hmm. In fact, some of the protesters that people hate right now going out, I know some of them, and they are really mad at Trump. So, but if given a chance to vote between Biden and Trump, they're still going with Trump. Now, Jesse Ventura has been batting around, maybe running for the Green Party, and one of the Ron Paul Republicans, Justin Amash, is trying to get the Libertarian Party, which I think Democrats should support, quite frankly, because he would take votes away from Donald Trump. They're making noise as if Justin Amash and the Libertarians would, the darn third parties would take votes away from Democrats. But, you know, Justin Amash is pro-life. There's no way a Democrat's voting for him. So he will take votes away from Trump. And that could really change, dramatically change the field. It could have kind of a Ralph Nader or Ross Perot effect for Biden. But I truly believe most of this is preordained. It's fixed. Sorry, I hate to be so cynical. And Trump has been really great for the banks and the usual suspects, despite what people say. They'd rather have a better soap salesman, someone who's a little more classy or a little more part of their clique.
Right.
But and someone who might be a little sneakier. But he's given them everything they've wanted. So I just don't see any way there's a change. Why even risk it?
Well, you know, Justin Amash a couple of days ago dropped out. You might not have picked that up.
Oh, I did not. Are you sure he's not trying to get the LP? He might have run into some opposition over there. So
right.
A lot of libertarians are Trumpers now, and they do not like Justin Amash.
Well,
so
what I find curious is no one else running on the Republican ticket.
There actually is. Bill Weld has been. You haven't heard about this.
I mean, I know he is, but he's getting no traction.
Yeah, so there's no way. It's and that's usually the way it is with an incumbent. So there's pretty much no way that I just don't see Trump losing. I'm sorry to break it to you, folks. And 2025 is a long time to wait for any semblance of sanity.
Right.
But it just doesn't look good. And one of the things I hope we'll talk about today is, you know, what we can accomplish. I think it's really important right now to not just look at how bad things are and how bad things can get, but what we can accomplish, because we are at a fulcrum right now. You know, there is a vacuum. I think we talked about this when I was on last time, Maria. There is a vacuum, and that can be filled. And if we're here, you know, constantly reacting to the problem and not, you know, running to the solution part ourselves,
right,
and pushing for that and coming with a list of demands and maybe even ready to have a general strike if necessary, we're just going to go be plugged back into the same system we were in before all of this started.
Absolutely. Well, you know, when they talk about the new norm, it makes you scared because you're like, what's that going to be like? If this was the norm, I am dreading looking at what the new norm is going to be.
Well, I'll speak for myself and my wife and my family. The thought of going back into what we had before all of this is nauseating. You know, living paycheck to paycheck, you know, right, having to go to the food bank so we can afford to pay rent, and, you know, overpaying in, you know, poor taxes, regressive taxes, which is out of control here in Washington, 10% tax on your food. You know, incredible taxes on property, which are passed to renters. You know, we have here in Seattle, we have a very, very progressive, if not socialist, city council, and they've almost done the bidding for their masters as much as anyone else. And one of the things I've noticed here in Seattle, for instance, is there's a huge land grab going on right now. And this is kind of what we need to be looking at doing. And of course, Goldman Sachs is right there on the scene. They just bought up a huge chunk of Pioneer Square, which is near downtown here and a historic part of the city. And a bunch of my friends, I used to work down there, a bunch of my friends' businesses have been bought up by Goldman Sachs, and they've been kicked out during all of this. And of course, no one has stood up for them. So there are a lot of moves happening right now, and that's something we need to keep our eye on. So
right,
part of it is, you know, we're cynical, we're complaining, we're constantly looking at, you know, all these moves that are being done. It can be paradoxically really confusing and we're not focusing on what we want. And I think it's really, really important for us to come together, but even within our own world, within our own lives, you know, figuring out, well, what do I want out of this? What is the world I want to see? What does freedom look like to me? Because certainly we didn't have it pre-corona.
Oh, for sure. And you know as well as I do that right after 9/11, they put in the most draconian laws against our freedom, and none of them were ever, you know, they never got rid of any of them. They just keep amping them up.
Yeah, no, then that's the thing. They don't give back your freedom. The Patriot Act was never repealed. Democrats and Republicans have both pushed it through. Once the NDAA and all of that went through, you know, unlawful detainment, the suspension of habeas corpus, these things never were given back to us. Homeland Security was never repealed. It was just another, you know, there's the Republicans shrinking the government again. They grew a massive part of the government. They added several, in fact, a few new cabinet positions. And also, as it pertains to, you know, what we're going through now, they passed, because of the anthrax and everything else, they passed the BioShield Act and the PrEP Act. And the PrEP Act was just actually reenacted. And it's been, you know, constantly being pumped up through things like the NDAA, and this is a National Defense Authorization Act, where they sneak all kinds of horrible little things in. And it's been reenacted now, and this gives, of course, the pharmaceutical companies zero liability to fast-track vaccines or anything that they need to, with almost no compensation for any of the victims. Very difficult for you to prove you've been damaged, to receive damages. Of course, a lot of people out there believe that vaccines are 100% safe, so anyone out there that is affected, that has bad side effects or a mitochondrial position where they die, it's very difficult to prove, because there's almost no one on your side. So the BioShield Act on top of the PrEP Act, those are two things we got from 9/11. And I'm glad you brought that up, because they're being pumped full of steroids right now.
Well, you see, both parties this week passed and voted on surveilling all our internet posts, etc., without a warrant. And I just keep trying to remind people that there's only one party, and they're all in league with themselves.
Well, what's interesting about that, and I'm glad you're talking about it, because we have to remember there are other things going on in the country and in the world besides this corona lockdown and all that goes with it. So there are a lot of little nothing up my sleeve moves happening now, and that's one of them. All that does is cut the middlemen out, because they were collecting all of your messages. They were saving all of those. They were preserving your data, as Edward Snowden had told us. And, you know, so we knew that was happening, but they had to get a warrant, a FISA warrant, and go to the telecom companies, many of whom were starting to get, deny access to your information. Of course, they're selling it for commercial purposes and for behavioral purposes, et cetera, et cetera. And a lot of that's happening now. But this codifies the fact that the government, without a warrant, can retrieve your private information. And I'm talking about, if you write somebody a message and then delete it and never send it, they'll have that.
I know, it's just ridiculous. So where do you think all of this fits in to Agenda 21?
Well, in Agenda 3030, they've actually added to that. Look, I mean, right now they're rewriting all the rules. We're talking about, I mean, forget about Agenda 21 for a second. That's your land, right? That's basically your land and resource-based economy, and them controlling the resources over us.
Right.
It gives, for instance, a corporation the ability to buy a forest and use it for carbon credits so they can pollute to their heart's desire. So we know about all of that. But think about, you know, your own personal Agenda 21, your own personal property, which is your body, which is your life, the life of your family, of your children. And to think that now you're going to have me talk about, you know, the internet and monitoring you, you know, if you've got to, you know, apply contact tracing, if you've got to carry around an app in your phone that you know, tells the government or the powers that be, everyone you've been in contact with and everywhere you've gone, and that they get that information, again, don't have to have a warrant to find it out. And then if you have to prove that you've been vaccinated either through a chip or a card or some kind of, you know, identification to get on a plane, to go to a concert, to go shopping, to do anything, you know, we're talking about something much worse even than Agenda 21. But I really think they're just rolling all this stuff out. This is a shoot. As we talked about the last time I was on, Maria, this is a shoot the moon scenario for, you know, the global powers. This is it. I mean, they're going to take everything if we let them have it.
Right. So let me ask you some more pointed questions. What do you think of the coronavirus?
I don't like it. It's not my friend. What do I think of it? I hate it.
Well, you know, some people want to blow it off and say it's not real. We got 90,000 Americans dead. Trump thinks that that's a badge of honor, that we're doing so great in this country. You know, some people still want to say it's not real. And then you have the other side that is, why would you shut down the whole world over a few million deaths?
Okay. And I've noticed on your Facebook page kind of where you're going with this, and we're probably going to disagree a little bit here.
I'm just confused. I'm totally
the solution,
confused.
Well, the reaction is part of the solution. We just talked about the solution.
Mm-hmm.
And last time I mentioned that I believe that the banks were about to go belly up.
Mm-hmm.
That was not sustainable, this constant needing of profit and bonuses and you know, money to the 1% to 0.1%. That wasn't sustainable. The world market and petrodollars, all of this was not sustainable, and they were about to completely melt down, and then Congress we'd have the repeat of 2007, 2008, where we'd have to bail out the banks. People weren't going to go for that. So they've already taken so much of that, and I think that's really what we're in the middle of here. Let me answer your question. The coronavirus is real. As we know, it's not as deadly as they say it is. There was probably no reason to shut everything down, per se. So I thought that was a massive overreaction to control the scenario of how things work out, to create the vacuum that we're currently in. As I mentioned last time, I think the proof is there, and Professor Francis Boyle, who broke the anthrax case, made the case, and I believe him, that this was a level 4 lab engineered bioweapon, or at least a happy accident where they were working on an HIV vaccine and this thing leaked out of a completely, totally redundant security system, as they said anthrax did back in the 2002, 2003. So I believe it's real. I believe it can really hurt people. I definitely know people who have been affected by it, and it's not fun. It certainly will wipe out and take care of people with secondary conditions, whether it be heart or whatever, you know, weakness or sickness you may have. So it's depopulating people. But, you know, man, I don't know if that's even what we should be talking about. It's real. It's not as deadly as we thought. I think the most important thing to talk about is, A, where we're at and what's been done to us through that. So what would have happened, do you think, if we would all not have been locked down? Because I happen to believe not a lot different would have happened. That's where I'm coming from, and I don't enjoy it. It's kind of ironic, right? Here we have all this time, which is wonderful. We have all this time to do the things we want to do, but there's really nothing you're allowed to do.
I know.
We finally have a little money potentially to do things, and there's nowhere to go.
Right.
We're not allowed to go to the beach. We're not allowed to enjoy our lives. So it's a paradox, a conundrum that, you know, we're not really taking advantage of. But,
well, you know, here in Arizona, they've done partial reopenings.
Yeah.
So, you know, what I had found during the pandemic, you know the town I live in, it's a small little town.
Mm-hmm.
What I did find, because when the gym closed, everybody had to find some exercise somewhere. So all of a sudden, everybody started using the lake, which is always ignored. We have a beautiful lake in this town. Walking around the lake, I noticed more and more people outdoors, social distancing, but still outdoors, whether they were picnicking, fishing on the lake, or whatever. They were way more friendly to each other because I was out there walking. And I thought that this is a really good, there's a lot of benefits. I said, if it took this virus for people to get back into nature and back to things that give you joy and pleasure and sanity, then that's one of the silver linings.
Right. And you got a lot of time to think about where you were and where you want to be, what your life means. You know, again, you're spending all this time with your family and your kids and all of this, and then you've got to go back to work and never see them again. And for half the money, actually, they're paying for unemployment right now because of the bonuses.
Exactly.
That's all pretty harsh. But, you know, without the traffic, the skies are cleaner, the air seems better. You know, there are certainly some benefits. And
yeah, people are cooking. People are eating at home. I'm sure they're going to get healthier as a result of it.
Yeah, maybe, depending on the person, right?
Well, it depends on what they're cooking, for sure.
I'll tell you, I've gained 10 pounds and probably drink a little more than I should, being home a lot, because it does get a little boring sometimes, and it has been a little hard. But
the other thing I noticed is a lot of people...
It's not a hoax. Right. It's not a hoax like Donald Trump says. If it's a hoax, why is he taking the antidote?
Do you even believe that he's telling the truth on the hydroxychloroquine?
No, he never tells the truth. I don't believe a word he says.
And what doctor in their right mind would give the president of the United States an unproven drug when he doesn't even test for the virus?
Well, he might have access to something we don't know about, and maybe that's a euphemism for it. Remember that before the anthrax hit, and I love comparing this to anthrax because there's so many similarities, that being weaponized too, as we found out again, thanks to Francis Boyle, but that the Bush White House was on Cipro, which was technically an antidote for anthrax, before the anthrax letters even were mailed out, after 9/11. So the Bush administration knew that was coming. And as we know it, that whole thing was, I think, justified and proven. And there is some plausible deniability there, but not much. They literally got caught with their pants down that anthrax came from Fort Detrick. So they knew, and they were on Cipro, and maybe the Trump administration is on something else. Did you see the press conference? They had a couple of news guys out there mocking the thing, saying it really wasn't real. It's not a hoax. It's not real. It's not deadly. The guy's like, don't even bother wearing your mask. It's nothing. And I'm talking about the news covering the president. Right. They don't really believe it.
Well, you know... If you think about it, you and I know that we've had nothing but fake news since at least the 1970s. But it wasn't until Trump called it fake news that everything went haywire. It's like you don't have anybody you can believe. You don't know what to believe. So we have what I consider a ball of confusion out there. You know, this one person says, this is good for you. This is somebody says you could do this, you have to do that, or try doing this. I've never seen such FUBAR ever. And Jack, if you think about it, after 9/11, did they shut the country down?
Yeah, kind of. I don't know. I'll tell you, remember, we were on the air, over in Rhode Island, which, if you didn't know, folks, is 2.5 hours away from New York City. It's very close. It's a stone throw. We called it the city, okay, when we lived in Providence, Rhode Island. New York was, we're going to the city. So it was literally almost a suburb, and we were pretty shut down. And I know I didn't do any real business for a month or two, but that was kind of self-imposed and out of respect. Of course, the planes went down for a couple of days, but no, I know. And that's why I think this is not just an overreaction. It is the reaction to provide the solution. So people are scared enough, and this test pattern, I think, has even shocked the controllers, Maria. Mm-hmm. Don't you? I mean, I don't think even they thought people would go along with this to the degree that they have.
No, so I don't.
They
might feel
a little bold.
Right. I just said everybody capitulated without a shot being fired. We had no facts. Yeah. We had no debate. We had no choice. The government said, this is what you're going to do. And, you know, in the gun-toting America, everybody just followed through.
Well, we're in an election year and there's no protest. And the protests that there are, people are mocking them.
Right. Well, you know,
I find completely dangerous.
But something that the news, you know, mainstream bullshit media isn't covering is there are tons of strikes going on in the United States. Tons of workers on strike.
Yeah.
But they don't cover that. You know, even when the striking truckers drove by the White House in opposition to Trump, he thought they were there supporting him and thanked them for his support.
Well, they're covering what's on the script. I know David Icke used to call them repeaters and not reporters, and they're reading the script that's being provided for them. So obviously, yeah, the last thing that our controllers, that the corporatocracy wants in this country is any kind of strike. They pretty mm-hmm. much eliminated most of that through the decades.
Right.
They don't want that.
Well,
and that's why
not.
We need to be thinking about how to do that.
Well, they don't want strikes. They don't want unions either. So, you know, people have to say enough is enough. You know, this isn't the world we want. Okay. The plus side, by the way, I just want to mention this because a lot of people probably don't know. I read it in the New York Times today. All these people getting this unemployment, if they've even seen their first check, Jack, they're all going to have to pay taxes on it in their tax returns, which I think is ridiculous because you already paid money on that tax before it went into your account.
Well, you can't get blood from a stone, and no pun intended here. You can quote Jack Blood on that, but it, yeah, I mean, it's not going to be enough money for me. I'm barely making it. It's nice to have it. I didn't qualify, by the way, for any of the Trump bailouts. I didn't qualify because how I do pay taxes and how we make money and, you know, some money confidentially in some over the table, if you know what I mean. But look, I mean, we're making minimum wage. I know, I'll tell you right now, I make $19 an hour at my job here. You would think some people will listen to that and go, wow, that's not bad. But the cost of living here is just so out of control that you can barely survive off of
right,
that.
And
so
who
that's,
can...
that's a major problem. And yeah,
right.
No, I'm not paying taxes. So I think your point is, tell them to go F themselves. We're not paying taxes on that money.
Well, I mean, who
that's
was...
Not,
we have taxation with zero representation. So why does anybody pay tax at this point? We have no representation in Congress. Congress is a joke, both sides of it, because this man gets away with murder and breaking laws every minute of every day. And where's Congress on it? And the only thing they could find to impeach him on was the smallest of his crimes. So, you know, we're all just twisting in the wind. And you
well,
know,
that's what, yeah,
I
that's
just,
where I was before all of this. If you know, for years, for decades, I think tax is something we need to talk about very seriously. And first off, regressive tax. You know, there's a lot of Republicans that are, you know, anti-socialist. They think that us getting unemployment is socialism. We paid in, so we did pay.
Right.
So if we are going to pay, it's nice to get something back. And that's why I was kind of championing, if not humorously, Andrew Yang earlier, because boy, was he right on time.
He was.
With the whole UBI thing.
He was. And even, with, you know, look, the, what I found funny, and I liked Andrew Yang, his, you know, universal pay, you know, the $1,000 a month. Well, what did the government just do? Didn't they just do the same thing he suggested? Aren't they now talking about $2,000 a month until, you know, 3 months after this virus passes? I doubt that will happen. But a universal basic income, I mean, when people are doing better on unemployment, even though they want to go back to work, why would they take a two-thirds pay cut to go back to work and slave for their corporate whores?
Yeah, that's going to really mess with people's heads as well. And so you do have Republicans saying, oh, just go back to work. And, you know, this is how we've been trained. And Martin Luther King, I thought, said it best, you know, socialism for the top and rugged individualism for the bottom.
Right.
And maybe we need to change that up a little bit. And so for those of you out there listening to me right now going, Jack, UBI is going to cause inflation. It's not, it's socialism, et cetera. You know, what I'm talking about is not giving the banks all their money and then giving us money, because that won't work. I'm talking about giving us the money, giving it to Main Street, not Wall Street at the discount window where they pay not only zero interest, but if Donald Trump gets his way, negative they're going to pay these guys to borrow money pretty soon. I mean, that's where we're heading with that, okay? So all the money they want, they can loan it out with no reserves and fractional reserve lending, as if we all know how the banking system works. Instead, you give it to us, and guess where it ends up, Maria? The banks still get it. So
exactly.
Let us spend it. Let us use it. Let us climb out of this gutter that they've run us into, and then we'll see where we're at, at least for them. So I could see this as a viable thing to inject into the economy for at least the next year, maybe the next 2 years. And then we have to see kind of where we're at that point.
Well, I can see, listen, I've always seen an easy way to fix the economy long before the coronavirus without spending trillions, you know, trillions of dollars to do that. Let's just assume, I'm just going to take a rough number. You got 300 million working Americans, okay? All the government would have to do is spend $300 million. Give every one of them $1 million. The government immediately gets back half of that in taxes, but everybody's got $500,000. That would fix the economy. That would buy homes, cars, start businesses, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Look how much cheaper that would be than what they're doing now, bailing out corporations and banks.
You're getting me excited now because this is where I live. This scratches me where I itch. Quite frankly, they say it's been about $3 trillion. It's actually been closer to $20 or $30 trillion injected into Wall Street. And at that price, we could have health care, which I do believe is a right, and I do believe we pay for and deserve and should have something comparable to what other places in the world have without paying 50% taxes. So that could have been, all of these things could have been done, and they weren't. And I think at some point when we wake up out of this nightmare or dream, depending on, you know, what your situation is, you're going to have these questions, and there could be some guys hanging from light poles if this thing gets revealed for what it truly is. But their plan, and if you look at, I thought this was really interesting. I saw Trump out talking, and then he hands the mic over to his economic / health guy, to his health guy who's handling the corona. I can't remember his name, but
Azar.
He put him in charge, and he gets up in front of the pedestal and starts talking about vaccinations and the Rockefeller Foundation. So this is for people who still love Trump. And I tried to tell them this, you know, that the Kool-Aid is very, very strong here, okay?
The bleach.
You can't do anything wrong.
The bleach aid. Listen,
if Obama did the stuff that Trump is doing now, they'd want him lynched, okay? Sorry for that image, but they would want that.
Absolutely.
So they're excusing him for all of this. And the Rockefeller Foundation literally put the blueprint for all of this in their document called Lockdown. Everything we're doing. Now, they want to run all the testing at about $3,333 per test to test everyone when there isn't potentially even an adequate test, an accurate test that can tell us exactly if we have something or don't have something. They also want to handle and be part of the injection of 7.7 million people on planet Earth. So, look, I mean, the Trump administration, again, going right along with all the usual suspects. Here in Washington, we have a Democrat governor. As you know, he ran for president as the green president, the global warming president. And you look at his conflicts of interest as a global warmer with Weyerhaeuser and some of these big polluting industries. See, we know Jay Inslee here in Washington. We know him very well.
Mm-hmm.
We see his conflicts of interest with Bill Gates, with Microsoft, and, you know, his family working for the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. So these conflicts of interest will, I think, be exposed in all of this, because I think, as usual, the hubris of these controllers is out of control.
Absolutely. Well, they're right in your face. You know, everybody wants to talk about deep state this, deep state that. But I had Bev Conover of Intrepid Report on a couple of weeks ago, and I asked her what she thought about the deep state. She says, there's no deep state. They're right out in the open now. And if people don't
exactly
want to see that. And if Trump wasn't part of the supposed deep state, he would not be alive. So,
well, there, yeah, I think that the deep state, we used to call it the shadow government, and then I can't remember who it was that came along and called it the deep state. You know, there are, when we're talking about politics, there are people, there are Republicans and there are Democrats in the CIA and the intelligence agencies in these kind of non-elected posts. That's not the deep state. The deep state doesn't care. They're not Republican or Democrat. They're really for just pushing an agenda. So we've taken a huge leap in the agenda, and it'll be time here soon for us to call them out. But in the meantime, I think we've got to rally and deal with what we have. I mean, what are you going to do if 9 out of 10 people want to take the vaccine? You're going to have to take it if you want to go out and operate, if you want your children to go to school, if you want to go to work, if you want to function in society. What are you going to do when that comes around? There's 119 vaccines currently in the pipeline with absolutely zero accountability. And they are pushing for this, and I don't see any way out of that. So where are you going to come down on this? You know, we avoided vaccines because I know about them. We avoided them for my child up until this year when they made them mandatory in Washington State. Mm-hmm. And finally, at 16 years old, my perfectly healthy child had to get a vaccine so we can go to school. And I finally had to bow to that. I did. And I'm somebody who knows exactly what's going on here. And right. I'm somebody who would like to hold out forever.
Exactly.
But I can't convince my child to not go to school. And I can't convince my wife to not go out and operate in you know, general society. So you're going to have to make these choices. I hope people understand and are ready to make some very hard choices.
Right. Well, or I hope there's also people working on a remedy for it or a detox to get the vaccine out of your system. Jack, we need to take a short break. Stay with us. Jack and I will be right back. Hi, this is Maria. I don't often get to talk directly to the listeners here on the Gary Noll Network, but I felt like doing that today. I know a lot of you really enjoy my show, but you might not know that I do 4 shows a week over at my website, maria.net. So if you're loving the show you get to hear on Sunday, come on over to my site and subscribe, because I've got hundreds of hours of great shows on pretty much every topic in the universe. And that again is maria.net, M-E-R-I-A.net. And now we can get back to this excellent show. Thanks. Welcome back to Blood and Guts. With Jack Blood, and Jack always said, I'm the guts. I don't know, Jack, there are days I feel like my guts are failing me. But I'm like, God, how much longer can I do this? You know, I was on Chuck O'Chelly's show the other night, and I told him, if Trump gets in, I may just stop doing my show, because physically, I don't think I can handle it. I don't think I can. I barely can handle covering this now.
Well, thanks again for having me on, and a big high five to your whole listening audience. You guys are really important. There's a lot of new media out, but none of it's as good as the Maria Heller Show or Chuck O'Chelly or these types of shows. So you got to keep going. If you noticed, when did I stop broadcasting on a regular basis? 2016. I didn't want to go up against it. I was caught between a rock and a hard place. I mean, I've got to the people, anybody but Trump. And then on the other side, I've got Trump is right 100% of the time. So I really had no constituents, really.
Right. And you just get worn out. I mean, you realize in July, I start my 21st year on the net. So that means you and I have been together for 23 years.
Wow. I did my first show in 1995. So, yeah, I'd be in the 25-year range now if I was still broadcasting.
Right. Well, I will tell you, there's always a lot of excitement when I post that you're coming on the show. And I'm the number one person excited. So what do we do? Okay. I was reading this morning that Inslee's going to have quite the team of people knocking on people's doors to test them. And if they test positive, they're not going to be allowed out of their house. That he'll have one of these tracer people call and check on them if they need pharmaceuticals or they need food. What is the purpose of locking people in their homes?
Well, I'll tell you, that really shows the theater of all of this, right? This puppet show. because Inslee and Trump supposedly hate each other, mm-hmm. but they'll be working together on that. So,
I mean, listening to Inslee during the debates, I was impressed with his knowledge of the environment. But I had no idea, you know, how deep his shit goes, too.
Yeah. Anyone could plagiarize information and call it their own. And, you know, part of this puppet show is, you know, to look like something you're not. So both of those guys are beholden to the same corporatist. And Trump is sending in National Guard and approving things, you know, to help Inslee do this. And what Maria is talking about, folks, is they'll come to your house if you've been come up on a screen that you might have corona or been in contact with somebody who has COVID. They can come to your house, force test you, and force quarantine you. That means you can't even go to the store. If you refuse, or if you're in a situation where maybe you're with an elderly person or somebody who might be sickly, who you could affect, who you could potentially damage by testing positive, they can haul you away and put you somewhere for an indeterminable amount of time. And they're coming with guns. So that's pretty scary.
Right.
I think, you know, because a lot of this has been ramped up to semi-incrementally, I live here in Seattle. People will go along with this, Maria. They just aren't going to fight it, really.
Mm-hmm. No, there's a lot of people that, look, we just saw the whole country went along with it. No one questioned it. They just said, okay, let's do this.
But to what degree? Yeah, to what degree? Will people take microchips and they can't go buy and sell? I don't, you know, I'm not a Bible thumper. No offense to anyone who is. You guys believe what you want. I believe this has become almost self-fulfilling prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
You know that the new legislation to do this, all the contact tracing, is House Resolution H.R. 6666.
Can't make that up.
I think they're doing it on purpose, really. I do.
I know. You can't make that up for sure. But, you know, at least 25% of Americans, though, polled, truly believe that Trump is the Antichrist. You know, you got to think back, because you've covered every president like I have since Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
How many years did we hear, oh, the Democrats are coming for your guns, which, of course, never happened. You know, all these different stories of, you know, the terrible things that everybody was going to do. None of it happened. And, you know, Obama was going to destroy the nation. You know, he was going to come for your guns. And yet here we have a man with 3,000 ethics complaints against him at the very least. And nothing is being done.
Yeah, Trump came for your guns. Trump actually, you know, you remember what he said. He goes, arrest them first and worry about the law later.
Exactly.
As far as people who might have a mental condition. You know, and I was just going to bring this up. The ACLU, who I think when I say their name, a lot of people cringe. They've been doing some amazing work.
I agree.
So they have really been putting Inslee's feet to the fire. And so they're trying to open up a four-step process to opening up Seattle again and Washington. I'm obviously last on the list as somebody whose job is to work in a big club. So I'm not working till next year unless I want to find a new kind of work. But one of the things they were going to do is you can go to a restaurant and you're going to make your customers follow all these rules. And there's going to be, you know, social distancing, and you're going to take people's temperature, and they've got to give their name, their phone number, and their email, which didn't fly well with the ACLU. They threatened Inslee with lawsuits, and he made that voluntary. So you see how, if you're organized, things can be done. The ACLU also challenged Donald Trump when he was having people arrested with no offenses for being a gun owner. This actually happened here in Washington. Some neighbors got together. They didn't like the look of a guy. He scared them. They called the police. The police came. They arrested him and took his guns. So they are coming for your guns, and that's crap that they're not. And Obama did a little bit of that too. He came for your milk. He came for your pot. He came for your guns. Obama arrested anarchists, okay? Oh, that's extreme leftists, not just people on the right. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of things that he did that obviously I had major problems with. A lot of things he did I kind of liked. There
right.
you go.
Right.
No one's perfect.
But
I get
you
it.
Think
but
about during
the ACLU because
you think about during the years Obama was in, how much scuttlebutt was going around the net, especially with fake alternative media people. that, you know, he was going to put us all in concentration camps. The Walgreens were going, Walmarts were going to be concentration camps. But who's instilling basically the fear of concentration camps and actually using concentration camps? I think of Trump's cages, cage children, etc. But the Republican.
Well, yeah, and they're blaming them. So they're blaming Democrat governors. And again, I hope in some small way today, Maria, we exposed a little bit of that puppet show. Because really look in there. So if you've got problems in your state, if you've got problems with, you know, your civil liberties, and you make enough noise and you fund and back organizations who are highly organized, like the ACLU, and there are a bunch of different, John Whitehead and those guys do a great job as well. You know, then you can be protected. If you just submit and cry and point fingers, you're screwed. That's not going to work, folks.
Exactly. Well, maybe we have to take Nancy Reagan's advice and just say no.
Yeah, no thank you. She wasn't very polite.
But, you know, I look at our country and I can't recognize it. I've seen a little bit of the horror that goes on every day now, a little bit of it growing up, okay? I didn't experience, even during the civil race wars in the 60s, did I not experience as much attacks on minorities of all kinds, whether they're Asian Americans, whether they're Latinos, whether they're black. I've never seen anything like the psychotic attacks on these people every time Trump blows his dog whistle.
Well, Sinclair Lewis was right. You know, look, this is what works. This is how fascism, I'm not going to say starts, because we are well down the path. Even before Donald Trump came along, we are well on our way to living in a fascist state and a fascist world. So, you know, I'll tell you, I play guitar, and on the back of it is the same thing Woody Guthrie had in the back of his guitar. This machine kills fascists. And that means music can kill fascists, okay? But we first have to be aware of it. And instead of, you know, this is one of the things that really bothers me, and please knock this off, folks. This constant pointing fingers and dividing and making everything political, this situation we have is not politics. This is life and death, okay? This is our future we're talking about. And I realize that fits in a component of politics, but this isn't politics. So if somebody doesn't agree with you 99 or 100%, that doesn't mean they support Trump. You know how many times I get accused of being a Trump supporter? And I think I've been pretty outspoken that I'm not one.
Right.
But again, you have to, for people to label you, and this is again part of the system of labeling and rating everybody, what's your credit score, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, what's your economic standing, what kind of clothes do you wear, and this is just another form of that, and I really wish that we could take the politics out of this. It's a separate thing. Politics is a separate thing. Remember what Emma Goldman said, or even I think Mark Twain said it, if voting ever solved anything, it would be illegal. And you know what? With the voter suppression that Trump is going to use in this election that the Democrats just used against Bernie Sanders, it can be illegal, and it can be illegal for minorities and for people who you know, don't have the right kind of advocates to stand up for them. So we got to stand up for each other and be done with this blaming and the politics thing. And I think that's why I've said this for years. Trump is the greatest psyop to ever happen in American politics.
Well, no argument out of me. I mean, they put him in. I can see, even Steve Bannon said he was going to destroy every aspect of American government, and he's done it. You know, you mentioned the National Guard before. You know that he's cutting them off one day before they could get their benefits?
No.
I mean, what kind of a person is this? It's like when he fired that guy, who the hell was it? Was it Ray? I don't even remember. One day before he could get his retirement?
Well, listen, there's a state guard as well. And those are the guys that I trust. The National Guard, they're going to take orders that are going to supersede anything that would be involved with the Ninth and Tenth Amendment. I think that's also kind of a funny point here as we're about to wrap up. And thanks again for having me on. Jackblood at hotmail.com, folks, if you want to find out what we're doing. Jackblood News. Over on Facebook, I'm probably going to be starting up some kind of a broadcast soon. Where was I? What was I just saying? I had to promote myself real quick, and then I forgot
point. You still got 5 minutes, so we can try to
I'm not in practice here. I'm out of practice, and I'm not keeping notes, of course.
Well, you know, it is a life and death situation, and people have to realize that we're all in this together, and that we've had our minds manipulated for so many years. With you and I have covered it for years: divide and conquer. The other thing I remember was another saying on the vote: never believe that the rich will let you vote away their power.
But, and as we see with the media and every tool they have in the toolbox, you know, it hasn't changed anything. And I know that there are small things that change, and I know people are very worried about things like, you know, a woman's right to have an abortion. These are very important issues. I'm not sure if I put them on the list. It's funny because, again, the people that want women, let me just talk about this hypocrisy for a minute. The people that are, you know, pro-abortion, that, you know, are pro-choice, they're not pro-choice on these vaccines. They're not pro-choice on so many other things. I wish that they could be, you know, completely consistent on that. And then you've got the Republicans who are pro-life but don't mind killing people who have been falsely accused of a crime and can't afford the right representation. When's the last time you saw a rich person be executed? So
Right. Well, you have the pro-life party that doesn't care how many seniors have to die to reopen the economy. So where's the pro-life there?
Yeah. Good point. Yeah. So I think what we're starting to realize here is this hypocrisy is been really exposed in all of this. And because we're a little off balance right now, maybe we're not going to do anything about it. But and I'm not talking about, you know, burning the country down. I'm not talking about taking it by force. I'm talking about just refusing to participate in you know, the behavioral modification and the social engineering that has taken place with dire consequences. And I want people to understand, you know, before you think about taking a shot, before you you know, give up control of your body, the advances in artificial intelligence and the advances in DNA researches have been just astounding over the last, you know, 20, 30 years. They can literally manipulate your DNA. I just think it's very important to be careful. And I also think another point about Trump, you know, propping up the Rockefeller Foundation to run some of this is, remember that they're eugenicists. They literally in the past have injected things into people that have sterilized them. So there are a lot of things to pay attention to here, Maria. There are a lot of balls in the air. Mm-hmm. I think people should focus on what they're good at and contribute in that way. And we should come together a little bit and at least on the things we can agree on and be able to push this forward. I think we have to put up an effective, you know, Trump loves walls. We have to put up an effective wall to protect ourselves and our futures. Lest we go back into even a worse situation than we found ourselves in before all this happened.
Absolutely. Absolutely. People have to take their power back. And I was stunned, Jack, by how fast everyone gave their power away to the government and how everybody's still expecting the government to save them when, you know, I've been saying for years, the only thing I trust the government to do is kill us all.
Well, they took our music away. They took the sports away, which, you know, I thought people might object to that a little bit, but better not take that football away or America will revolt. In fact, Trump, if they don't have football, he might lose the election.
It might all come down to football. Oh, God.
I want my football. I want my bread and I want my circus.
Oh, jeez.
No, but I think in many ways we've done a great job here. This has tested our mettle. We'll come out. We are going to be stronger. If it hasn't killed you, you're going to be stronger. You're going to have power. Let's figure out what we can do with that. Again, I think it's really important. Everybody should maybe make a list on what you want out of this. What freedom would look like to you. What what are the things in your list of demands? And try not to be negative. Try to be positive with that. Not what you don't want. I don't want contact tracing. I don't want Big Brother. I don't want groupthink. I don't want the thought police. Think about what you really want. And then, you know, share that with other people and see if that can't go viral.
Exactly. Great idea. It's like John Lennon used to say, if you want peace, just put a sign in your window that says peace.
Right on.
Well, Jack, thanks so much for joining me. You know, you're welcome back anytime.
Well, thanks for letting me vent here a little bit. And again, I love all your people. JackBlood@Hotmail.com if you want to get a hold of me. Find out what we're doing, and we'll put you on a mailing list when things happen. And then Jack Blood News over on Facebook, and that's where I hide things because I got to be careful what I say, Maria.
Oh, me too. I understand.
Power to you, and everybody stay bold. Love you, Maria, and hopefully I'll be back again next month.
Great. Love it, Jack. Take good care and say hi to your family.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Jack Blood, the guy who got me started in all of this madness, and one of the best co-hosts I've ever had. So I hope you enjoyed today's show, and yeah, it's time to take your power back, folks. So thanks for listening, and I'll see you guys next time.
Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.